In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Sermon on the Mount, the lectionary has led us to this marvelous, marvelous, rich, full of all kinds of things. 4 Sundays ago, I guess, we started out with the Beatitudes. You are blessed. You have all of these gifts that are there, a part of you. And bringing them all together, everybody benefits. And there is abundance upon abundance of God's blessings within each and every one of you. And as you use them to show forth God to the rest of the world. And then we heard about salt and light. Right? Salt, you are God's flavor. You are the ones to show people the richness that is developed when God is a part of people's lives. And you are light. You are light that is not to be hid, but to be put on a stand so that all can see and can bring God's color, God's marvelous, marvelous color. I was reminded of that this week. Kathleen was hobbling up in her exercise as we were going to the boardwalk in Bethany Beach. And it was a little hazy over the ocean, but the sun was up the way it is. And as you look to the horizon, it looked like the whole horizon was a rainbow. All the different colors. It was marvelous. And it reminded me about being God's light, not just the bright light, but all the colors and the richness that is there, using our blessings, being God's disciples. But then we come to this week, where Jesus confronts life's norms. There's one thing about God's Word and Scripture and how you're supposed to do it, and then there's another way in which there are those accumulated things that are just kind of there and the way in which they control our lives. Things that are still very strong today, the ones that he mentions here. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. We're told that's the way it is. That's the way you stand up. That's the way you make sure that there's a price to pay. And things are there. And we adhere to that. We adhere to that. Love your friends. We know that. Love your friends. Love your friends. Love them. Use God's love. But there are folks who don't play by the same rules. There are folks that we would indemnify as enemy, and folks who take advantage, and folks who abuse all kinds of ways. Hate your enemies. Let the strength of that be there so that they do not win. And Jesus stands in front of the disciples, not just the 12, but that gathered mass there on the Mount of Olives, and saying, we are God's people and God's community, and here's what I propose. And the traditional words, turn the other cheek. Don't strike back. He says, stand and take it. Or the thing that was there that everybody was used to in occupied Palestine at that particular time, occupied by the Romans. A Roman soldier or government official could say to someone, I need you to come and to carry this for a mile. It was the law. They could compel you to do that particular task. Or they could go into court, whether you were a Jew or whether you were or not, and they could sue you, obviously, for things that they believed belonged to them, kind of like a tax, you know. And they could sue you, which was common because it's where wealth was in terms of clothing and cloth and those kinds of things, to take sue for someone's shirt. And Jesus says, gift wrap your coat as well. Gift wrap your coat. Turn it around. Turn it around and live out God's way. That go the second mile. Not just the first that's compelled by the law, but go the second mile. Live out that servant life and show others. Bring them into question and into doubt about these things and about these blessings. hard, and they'll love your enemies. Wow. And then he says, in the traditional translation, he says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Are you kidding? Be perfect as God is perfect? We know that's impossible. You've got to be kidding. How can you measure up? They're sweet words, and we love them. We love them because they call for the best of ourselves, but to measure up. And the fact of the matter is we end up romanticizing them and remembering them as wonderful words, as good Sunday school lessons. You know, we forget how demanding they are. They're pretty words, and we kind of turn them into a Hallmark card response somehow. You know, and we hide behind forgeness and grace, saying, oh, we'll never measure up. Thank goodness that God forgives us. Thank goodness for God's grace. And we forget that it's not a list. It's not a check-off list in which we are to measure up. Jesus never talks in that way. He always makes more of the law as he reinterprets it and fulfills it. Rather, what Jesus is talking about, he's talking about being God's people. He's talking about living in God's realm. He's talking about what Jesus is saying is that the kingdom is now. Don't wait for later. Don't wait to die. It's now. And you are the ones who embody that. Those who think of others first. Even when you don't do it individually, when you come to church, that's what we do. That's what we do. We talk about the common good. And we take 4 cents a meal offerings. And we do offerings for Presbyterian disaster assistance. And we do Kingsway. And we go to Baja. And we do all of those things. To do what? Now, two things. One, to show God's love. And the other way is to learn about God's love as it comes back. As we participate in all of those things. Anybody who works in Kingsway will be touched. For the people who come. I can guarantee you that. Anybody who does any of these things. That we are to be sister and brother to everyone. In other words, it's a plan for action. It's rooted in God's promise to be God's children. And to claim that blessing to be made in God's image. Wow. And to have that capacity, that potential. You there yet? Well, I'm not. I know about you, but I'm not. It's a blueprint for the life of God's church. Indeed, it's a blueprint, Bethel, for you. And the fact of the matter is that we can't do it alone. This is not about individual folks. This is about God's realm, God's community of faith. It's a blueprint for the church, and we need each other. In terms of teaching and learning and experiencing, each generation needs the next generation. And we need generation upon generation upon generation to share all of this experience and these wonderful things. It's about counting on the spiritual gift, the blessings that are there. And it only happens because God is love. And God teaches us love. My son Scott, middle child. I asked his permission yesterday. He said, yeah, Dad, go ahead. His marriage is broken up. He's in the middle of a divorce. And things have not been well for a while as he has struggled with his bipolar issues and medication and non-medication. And it became critical last September when his wife and his mother-in-law asked him to leave. Take what he wanted, but to leave. And his fear of losing his children. And literally at the bottom of having to find a furnished room because there wasn't enough money for a motel room more than a week. Has no friends. He's only lived there for a few years. And all he knows is work. And in the middle of it all, because he had left and was asked to leave, he lost his medical care. And so his medications and his visits to the psychiatrist and to the therapist and all those things were gone. And he lived in fear. And he had conversations with me, and I encouraged him to reach out. Now, this is a child of the church. He doesn't go to church now. He's not sure what he believes, but he is a child of the church, and he's had that foundation. struggles in his motivations and the choices he was making, and to work them through. When he was deciding about child support and how much and what do you do, and I kept saying, you do it for the children. You do it out of what you want best for them. You don't do it out of the least as an act of revenge against your former spouse or any of those things. In terms of the divorce and in terms of custody agreements, this is real life stuff at the very heart of him. Choose for the right reasons and come to grips with the fact that you are pulled by anger and suspicion and fear and revenge and getting back, eye for an eye. But I tell you, and thinking of his children and of the best of himself in terms of what he looks for, in terms of respect and honor and love and all of those things, it's what we all want. And whether it's the hard choices of life like that, those circumstances that come up, some which we may cause ourselves and some which just come upon us, it's also there in the good times. What's important to know is he's got a new job. He's moving on. Has been able to make things happen and get a hold of himself and to find a new physician who will help him with his medications and all of those kinds of things. All of those things. You see, and it's not just individuals. It's the fact of his upbringing. It's the fact of his dad and the fact that he reconnected with his mother, who was non-judgmental because of what was going on. All of these things to reconnect to the community of faith. Bethel, you claim the high ground. You are God's people. Perfection, you see, that Jesus talks about is less about getting it right than it is about loving with God's love and learning how to do that and teaching that and being that and doing that. And we come with all kinds of ideas and this and that, and this is what we ought to do, and maybe we shouldn't do that anymore, and we're judgmental about stuff. But when we come prayerfully into committee meetings, into worship, into deacons meetings, into session, into meetings of trustees, what is the ruling factor is that God is love and that God calls us to love. And all of a sudden the conversation's different. And it's about the positive things and about the things that are good and the things that we can do and figuring out how to make that happen. It's about being the children of God. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, amen.